You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Wish I could be.
As we continue this conversation about woke mermaids and that whole controversy. Now, on the last episode, we talked about the fact that despite the evidence that shows that movies and TV shows with diverse casts actually make more money and get higher ratings, Hollywood and the media industry continues to pump out this all-white content. I'm Michael Harriet, world-famous white peopleologist, and this is The Griot Daily. So what does this have to do with Little Mermaid? Or, like, let's even expand it, right? Like, you know, people are mad about the Amazon Prime series, Rings of Power. You know, I thought that was a Beyonce song, the follow-up to, you know, if you like it, then you ought to put a ring on it. But apparently it's not. It's apparently people are mad because there's black hobbits. And, you know, I watch the sequel to Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, or, you know, as it's colloquially called, Hot D. And people are mad because a character in that show is black. Because they say it's not faithful to the book, even though, like, in the book, the dude's name is Corliss. In the book, they don't describe him as being white or black, right? They just say he has blonde hair, but for some reason, in this whole fantastical universe where there's dragons and dire wolves and witches, they can't imagine a black dude with blonde hair. But again, it's because white people are used to consuming media for the history of American media that is mostly white. They're not really used to seeing black people on TV and in movies. So what happened? Well, along came some new players. Now, when I say along came some new players, it sounds like some good, it might sound like some good upstart, you know, players came to upset the apple cart. But no, what I'm saying is there are some new players with money that it is just as much money as the big six, with just as much power, with just as many resources. Netflix, one of the most lucrative stocks in the country, right? One of the, obviously a huge corporation. You know, Apple TV, for instance, right? Like, Apple is literally the most profitable company in the world. And so when they got into the TV game, it's not like they were an upstart. And Amazon, right? The richest man in the world owns Amazon. So when he got into the TV game, or what we call the streaming game, like, it's not like he was playing second fiddle to ABC or Disney or Comcast. But here's what happened. Those companies, they've seen those studies that we just mentioned too. They know that they're more likely to have a hit show if the cast is diverse. They know that white audiences might be the majority of the country, but they are fickle, right? And they know that, like, if you just want to get a good sturdy foothold in the media landscape, all you got to do is just put something that's good and black on TV, right? Like, we would have never heard of, like, Top Boy, a British show where they, hello, governor, I'm going to sell you some drugs right now. Like, I have a terrible British accent. But we'd never heard about that if it wasn't for Netflix. If Netflix wasn't just, you know, casting its lot with a black show from overseas, right? We would have never seen that. But because it was available, black people said, I want to see someone on TV that looks like me. And it became a hit show, right? Like, look at Insecure. Like, you know, y'all didn't have HBO until Insecure started streaming. And that's why people have HBO Max. And that's why, you know, Southside, the show Southside, had a whole season where it was on just like regular cable TV. But when it was on a streaming platform where people could watch it at any time they wanted, it became like a cult hit. And even the big shows, right? Like, take Black-ish, for instance, right? Black-ish was like a top 10 hit. But even though black people make up 13% of the population, like, we made up 20 percent of Black-ish's viewers. A show like Scandal, we were like 40% of Scandal's viewers. Insecure, most of Insecure's viewers are Black. Atlanta, the show on FX, most 60% of Atlanta's viewers are Black, right? Those are hit shows. They're winning prizes and awards, but they exist because, you know, these people in the new media landscape knew that Black audiences and diverse audiences were reliable. And the old guard, those big six, were sitting back watching Netflix and Apple TV take their territory. So what do? Man, we got to figure out something. I mean, all of our stuff been white. Like, we like in the 1990s, Disney made a whole movie called Tarzan about a white dude in Africa. And they had, the whole movie was about animals and people and a white dude in Africa swinging through the African jungle. Literally no one in the cast was Black. And the same people who were in control then still control Disney. And they decided, man, like, we used to run things. How are we going to get control back? Well, I mean, we ain't really got no new ideas. All our old ideas are white. I mean, people know them, so that's a plus on our side. Wait, what if we just, like, take all those old white ideas that people loved for 50, 75 years and just put Black faces on them? And it's not because they wanted to be more diverse or more inclusive. It's because they were losing. Because they were losing territory and audience and interest to companies like Netflix and Apple TV and Amazon, who, again, they didn't care about Black people either. But they knew the data. They knew the facts. And they knew that they could get a toehold in media by just making shows that look like the multicultural society that we live in. So here comes 100-year-old Disney. And what do? They just slap a Black face on Ariel, which drives white people insane. But here's the thing. You got to understand why they're mad. Imagine if you lived in a world that catered to you. Imagine, in fact, if all of your tastes and your preferences and all of the stuff you'd like to see on TV was protected by six big old giant dudes who are bigger and stronger than everybody else. And nothing else could exist without those six guys letting it through. And those six guys knew that everything, even the most fantastical thing that you can imagine, had to be something that made you comfortable. The people had to look like you. They had to talk like you. They had to hold the values that you hold dear, right? Everything that you believe, they had to believe. If you thought something was good, then it was good. The evil characters were evil because of your definition of evil. And then all of a sudden, you see a Black mermaid. It might not make you mad, but it might be disorienting. Like for white people, this is like seeing a Black, seeing a human being with like a foot coming out of their shoulder and arms coming out of their waist, right? Like, it might be a little bit scary. It might, you know, be a little bit upsetting. And the only way to express it is through emotion. Like, what the hell is going on? Well, what's going on is not that Disney is woke, as they contend. It's not, you know, CRT, you know, Caucasian race theory. It's not that, you know, Black mermaids are going to swim in their house. And the crazy thing is, nobody, like, Disney ain't going to erase all the VHS copies of the original Little Mermaid. It's not like they're going to come in your house and make you watch the Africanized mermaid or the Black dude that's riding dragons, or, you know, they're going to hold your face to the TV and say, look at this Negro Hobbit. Look at it. Nah, you just can choose to watch it or not, like black people have been doing for years, without complaining, without whining, without saying, we're going to boycott this white Jesus or this, you know, like they had pharaohs that were white. Disney did. Black people watched it. But when the tables are turned, white people are like, yeah, how did that get here? It must be wokeness. It must be CRT. It must be that gosh darn diversity. White people do be saying the gosh darn though. But that's not what it is at all. Like, there was this television executive years ago who someone was asking him about, you know, the changes at Monday Night Football. This is when Monday Night Football was on ABC. Y'all probably too young to remember that. It, like, cable really didn't exist, and there were only three channels. But he could have explained to them the demographics or, you know, how the landscape was changing or that, like, they have these new cameras where they can swing or that people want to see and hear more voices that sound like them. But instead, he told them, and this is what Don Allmeyer explained it in just one simple sentence. The answer to all of your questions is money. And that's how we got a woke Negro mermaid. Thank you for listening to The Griot Daily. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to download The Griot app. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. We're going to be here every day. Like now you can watch us on The Griot streaming service that is available everywhere. Like we in the game now. And I know Disney going to be mad. They're probably going to have, you know, like the White People Daily on Disney now. But regardless, remember, if them folks can't swizzim, they bound to drizzle. We'll see you next time on The Griot Daily.
If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download The Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You're watching the Blackest Questions podcast with Christina Greer.
In this podcast, we ask our guests 5 of the blackest questions so we can learn a little bit more about them and have some fun while we're doing it.
Okay, so this is a trick question.
We're also going to learn a lot about black history, past and present.
Beautiful. I learned a wonderful fact today. Great.
So here's how it works. We have 5 rounds of questions about us, black history, the whole diaspora, current events, you name it. With each round, the questions get a little tougher.
Oh, you got me, you got me. Let me see.
I have no idea.
I knew you were going to go there, Dr. Greer.
Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts and share it with everyone you know.